Compounding change isn't just about interest and dividends in your investments. It's about actions. My next guest has lived that truth. What began as a simple fundraiser has grown into a legacy of education and opportunity. Hear her story next on the Compounding Change Podcast.
This is the Compounding Change Podcast, sharing stories of small but meaningful changes that compound into amazing impact. Brought to you by Shannon Davis and DavisCompoundingChange.com. Change happens fast. Take advantage. Discussions on this show should not be construed as specific recommendations or investment advice. Always consult with your investment professional before making important investment decisions. Securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated, a registered broker-dealer, member FINRA SIPC. Investment advisory services are offered through Retirement Plan Advisors LLC, a federally registered investment advisor. Cambridge Investment Research and Retirement Planning Advisors are not related to DavisCompoundingChange.com or this podcast. Now, here's your host, Shannon Davis.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Compounding Change, the podcast where we talk about how small, intentional steps add up over time and create real lasting impact in our lives and our communities. Today, I'm really excited to have Erin Riegel with me. She's the co-founder of Link Worldwide, a nonprofit that started from a simple act of kindness and a Facebook fundraiser, and now it's grown into a global movement. Erin and her cousin Amanda began by volunteering with orphans in Kenya, and they saw firsthand how even the smallest bit of support can turn into life-changing resources like clean water, education, and sustainable food. As we chat, we'll dig into how those early acts of compassion and the momentum they sparked perfectly illustrate what compounding change is all about, how consistent small actions can lead to big transformation over time. Erin. Thank you so much for being here to share your story.
Oh, thanks, Shannon. I'm glad to be here.
Well, I'm excited that you agreed to be a part of this podcast, and I'm so happy to chat with you again. A few years ago, your story impressed me, and I was awed by all you've accomplished. I love starting with your why. So can you tell us a little bit about yourself and what sparked you and Amanda to start Uplink Worldwide?
Sure. So, when I was a child, my dad would always show me the little pamphlets you would get in the mail from different missionaries around the world saying things like, oh, a dollar a day could feed a child. And just for whatever reason, at a young age, I felt this urge to go to Africa or to do some kind of mission work in my life. And then when I started looking at nursing school, I went to Walsh University for their nursing program, but when I was looking at the school, I found out that they also had a study abroad trip to Uganda. So my freshman year, I said to my mom, you know, I'm going to go to Uganda. I'm going to go on that trip, which I think terrified her. But at the end of freshman year, I ended up going to Uganda for 3 weeks for a study abroad trip. And then again, after my junior year, the nursing program started a trip to Tanzania. So I also went on that one. And both of those trips were incredibly transformational. You know, you can't even put into words what you witness and how it changes you as a person. But I was telling my relatives about all these incredible stories and experiences I had there. And one of my cousins, Amanda, really wanted to go to Africa after hearing this. So I had just graduated nursing school in 2012, and she was still in college, but we found an organization online called IVHQ International. And we selected Kenya to volunteer at. And I was in the clinic, and then she was working in an orphanage, kind of in the outskirts of Nairobi. So we went there for 3 weeks. And on my previous trips to Africa, I was kind of overwhelmed by the amount of poverty that I saw in certain areas of the countries. Kind of to the point of like, you know, you want to do something, but you don't know where to even start. But then when we were in Kenya, we had a place. We were at this orphanage, and it was partially roof, dirt floors. It was in Kayole, which is a bit of a slum. And we just had this thought of like, you know, these kids are born here. And just because they're born here, like this is the life that they're living. And I think what really moved us to do something was there was a nursery room, but it was really just this dirty mattress on the floor with all of these babies laying on it. And none of them had diapers. So they were, you know, lying in their own waste. And you know, I just thought like we have to do something. We didn't necessarily knew what that looked like. But we talked to the board of the orphanage and said, you know, would you want to move out of this building if we could build you a new one? And they were very receptive to that. So honestly, without even thinking, we went to an internet cafe and made a Facebook event. We're going to build a new orphanage. And a few days later, my mom, I can't remember, she called me or emailed me, but she's kind of like, so what's going on? Because people had started sending checks and cash to my parents' house. So again, like I was freshly graduated from nursing school. I had no idea what it looked like to start a nonprofit.
So what did that fundraiser look like? I mean,
honestly,
did you put together?
It was just like a basic fundraiser event of we're building a new orphanage in Kenya.
Before you even really had it in your head.
Yes. Like, oh, well, you know, I think my thought at that time was, well, we'll raise money and we'll give it to the orphanage and we can, you know, help move these children outside of the city into an area where they could actually have a yard to play in and a building that has a roof over it and beds for all of the kids. You know, at this time, like 6 to 8 children would sleep in a bed together. They didn't have any running water. It was just a really difficult environment for these orphans. But again, like I really did not, being naive was really good for me because I didn't really think of all of the intricacies and things that would have to happen to actually build in Africa. So really we, you know, my mom's like, what's happening? I'm like, we're going to build a new orphanage.
Was that before you even got back?
Yeah. Yeah. So we were still there. So then when I got home, it was kind of this, okay, well now what are we supposed to do? Cause I have this money and like, I can't put it in my bank account. I have no idea what I'm doing.
Right.
So it was pretty awesome. People just giving guidance, family, friends, people from our church, other friends that I went to Walsh University with who had gone to Tanzania or Uganda with me, who kind of understood what things were like in Africa, who maybe had knowledge here with marketing or financial advice. And so I had a lot of guidance of, okay, these are some steps you need to take. And my brother was like, you know, you really need to start a 501c3. And I was like, no, that sounds like a lot of work. Like, I'm not trying to do that. Like, I'm just trying to raise some money and I'll help this orphanage. And like, that's it. But that wasn't it because here we are 13 years later.
Well, there's a lot, you know, I mean, big change starts with small actions. So you had to start somewhere, right? But I do remember you saying, not only about that whole story, but I remember you saying that the help that you wanted to give wasn't necessarily received in the way that you thought it was going to be. So they basically had just said the original people mm-hmm. you wanted to help had just said, give me the money. Right. And you're like, no, can't just do that.
Yes. Yeah. So we worked with the orphanage for about 2.5-3 years. Going back and forth conversation. I traveled, you know, I came back after that initial trip, I came back and started my nursing career. So over the next 2 to 3 years, I would travel there maybe once a year, but just communicate through email and, text messaging. And at first things sounded good. But then after a while I had a hard time getting responses from them. We had sent some funds, for a smaller project with the kids and didn't hear back. So on another trip, I went back and found that some of the board members were no longer involved with that orphanage. And, you know, we kind of talked about some different options, looked at land at different areas. And after a while they said, well, you know, you could just, like you said, just give us the funds and we'll kind of go our separate ways, which we really couldn't do that. We wanted to make sure that funds were used appropriately. Especially, you know, at this point we were a nonprofit and this money is not our money. It's our donors and our supporters. Right. So, we ended up stepping away from the orphanage at that time. I personally still help support some of the children there. But as an organization, we determined it would be a better option to kind of look and see where are some other needs in the country. So also,
I know that your website focuses on Link Worldwide, talks about that it focuses on five core things: the clean water, mm-hmm. sustainable food, health and sanitation, education and safety. So how did you decide that those were the key areas to focus on, and how did education become, it seems that that's a stronger core than the yes. others? Not that the others aren't important, but that's what your big focus is on, right?
Exactly. Right now, that is our main project is a primary school that we built in Awasi, Kenya. So when we first started, you know, trying to identify like, okay, there's all these things that we want to do and help, but right, how do we determine what should we focus on? And after multiple trips over there, you know, the realization of, you know, right off the bat, I think a lot of us know like clean water is a huge issue in mm-hmm. some developing countries. Sustainable food is also a significant issue. And when we were originally working with the orphanage, you know, you see like obviously these children are left in the streets and they're taken into these homes. When we shifted gears from the orphanage, started thinking, you know, different areas that we could help, and realizing that the lack of education is a huge problem. You know, children are either taken into orphanages or they're taken into, you know, neighbors or relatives will take orphans into their homes, but then they can't afford to send them to school.